Good evening and welcome to Encounter. I'm Alan Beach, your host and producer for tonight's show. Tonight we meet the executive director of the San Francisco-based Chinese for Affirmative Action, Mr. Henry Durr. A 20-year-old group, Chinese for Affirmative Action is the most influential Chinese civil rights group in California and perhaps in the U.S. The group's most recent focus has been to get more Chinese Americans to vote and become involved in the U.S. political system. Mr. Durr spoke in San Francisco with ICRT's San Francisco correspondent, Eric Olander.
First of all, can you tell me a little bit about what your organization does in the Bay Area?
Chinese Affirmative Action is a membership-supported civil rights organization. We work to promote equal opportunities for Chinese Americans in employment, education, access to publicly funded social health services, voting rights, and we try to secure an accurate portrayal of Chinese Americans in the mass media. Chinese for Affirmative Action has been an ardent advocate for bilingual ballots. Bilingual elections are very unpopular with the majority of Americans. Many Americans believe that if you live in America, you should speak English and should not be dependent on a language other than English to exercise one's right to vote. But the federal law is clear because of past discrimination and the lack of educational opportunities for many new Americans. It is necessary for naturalized citizens and other longtime residents of the Chinese American community to utilize bilingual ballots in order to exercise an effective vote on election day. In the area of mass media, we've been very adamant in opposing a racially offensive, stereotypic portrayal of Chinese Americans. We have protested film companies who have come into the Bay Area that wish to perpetuate the Charlie Chan and other kinds of harmful stereotypes. And we have, over the years, worked very hard to make television and radio stations more sensitive to the public affairs, information, and news needs of the Chinese-American community, because it is a growing population here in the United States, especially in California. And this segment of the American population needs access to news as much as anyone else does. And for that reason, we believe that television and radio stations have an obligation under federal law to provide opportunities and access to the airwaves for members of the Chinese American community. Because of strong affirmative action regulations and advocacy on the part of community groups, many of these television stations have integrated their on-air talent. Interestingly, many of these broadcast stations have found that it works to their economic benefit to have Chinese Americans, Afro-Americans, and Hispanics to be on-air talent, because viewers, listeners, identify with people who may come from their background.
What is the extent of racism against Asians locally?
As the Asian American community continues to grow in size, and as Asian Americans decide to establish residence in non-traditional neighborhoods, racial attitudes, negative attitudes against Asians have become more pronounced. Many individuals do not understand us. They don't know our history, the struggle that many Asians have had to overcome. And many non-Asians feel quite threatened, quite apprehensive about the growing presence of Asian Americans in, say, the Bay Area, in California in general. Consequently, different Asian families and businesses have been the target of race, hatred, violence, verbal and physical abuse. The growing incidence of racial animosity parallels the growth in the Asian American population here in the state of California.
other Asian American communities around the country, particularly in New York, have had some problems integrating themselves. Do those same problems exist in the San Francisco Bay Area?
To some extent, there remains segregated housing patterns in certain neighborhoods. On the other hand, Asian Americans have been rather aggressive in seeking out affordable housing opportunities in different parts of the Bay Area and throughout California. Our presence may make some non-Asian Americans very uncomfortable. They may get somewhat paranoid about our growing presence. But those kinds of backward attitudes and perceptions have not deterred Asian Americans from seeking out good housing opportunities or educational opportunities for their kids. Until racism is completely eradicated, many Asian Americans know that they just have to bear down, tackle these incidents of racism on both an individual and group basis. The evolution and establishment of a subculture in the Chinese American community is a byproduct of Chinese American history and our interface with discriminatory institutions. Chinese immigrants who are coming over to America today from Taiwan, Hong Kong, and other Southeast Asian countries tend to be highly educated and have had tremendous exposure to business and other kinds of economic opportunities. I don't think it's fair to compare that group of Taiwanese or Chinese from Hong Kong with a group of blacks who on a day-to-day basis face many, many different forms of discrimination. You know, I find it to be racially offensive when an employer or a public policymaker will say to an Asian American that they prefer Asian Americans over blacks, that Asians know how to work hard and others don't. And it's those kinds of statements that perpetuate stereotypes and prevents a fair share of economic and social opportunities to be geared for the benefit of blacks.
What sort of prejudices against Asian Americans exist in business and politics?
In politics, Asian Americans are underregistered to vote relative to our overall representation in the general population. Politicians know that we are underregistered, and even among those who are registered to vote, the voter turnout of Chinese voters tends to be much lower than the average voter turnout for any given election. There are several reasons for this gross underrepresentation. One, there is a language barrier that remains in place. Even though we have bilingual ballots, there are many election officials and other public officials who have a hostile attitude toward bilingualism. And we need to constantly fight and argue why bilingual strategies are necessary and important in this day and age. So that's one problem. And in business, while Asians have made some inroads in corporate America, Asians have a way to go before they truly integrate the boardroom's top-level management positions. Asians are generally perceived as being good workers, good technicians, but are not viewed favorably as managers, administrators, or head of a specific project. There is low expectations conveyed to Asian Americans that American society prizes them for their technical skills but do not see the potential for leadership among Asian Americans.
In your opinion, how difficult is it as an Asian American to be elected or appointed to public office?
Asians have experienced a better success rate in being appointed. Some doors have been broken down. The question for Asians in the political arena is, will Asians be considered fairly and honestly for some of the more prestigious appointments at the state, federal level? And as we look at high-level senior manager positions or paid commissionerships, at the FCC and in regulatory bodies like that, we still see that there is an absence of Asian Americans at the federal level and at the state level. At the local level, there's been better progress in terms of Asians being appointed to different city commissions and boards and the like. And Asians need to understand that unless they go out to register to vote, politicians will not treat the Asian vote very seriously other than to come into Chinatown during a Chinese New Year's dinner or some photo opportunity event for their political office.
And how do you see the Asian American political impact changing in San Francisco and the country over the next 10, 15 years?
Because we have some role models in judgeships and in other elected offices, the up-and-coming generation of Chinese Americans do not feel a whole lot of inhibitions about running for office. I see the day where there will be Chinese competing against other Chinese. And maybe that's a good situation.
What are some typical myths Americans, white Americans that is, have about Asian Americans? And could you explain the realities of those myths?
Well, a fair number of Americans believe that Asians want only to be doctors, engineers, and accountants. And to a large extent, some Asian families steer their young people into those particular professions, believing that those professions provide greater job security and, you know, future stability. But if we really look at college majors, what Asian students are interested in, their interest spans the diversity of things that are possible in the world of work. We broke down certain stereotypes and barriers when we engaged in a lawsuit against the police department for equal promotional opportunities for minorities, including Asians. We have a project to place Asians into blue-collar work, into unionized work, construction, highway construction. When we started the project, a number of individuals indicated to us that Asians are not interested in those kinds of jobs. Well, after a period of time, we have witnessed that a lot of Asians do not have immediate plans to go on to college or follow that track. They are, you know, trying to hold down jobs and look at other options. So I think that the sheer size of the Asian American community has help some individuals, not all, to take a second look at Chinese Americans and what is it that we are contributing to this country.
You've been listening to Mr. Henry Durr, Executive Director of Chinese for Affirmative Action in San Francisco. Mr. Durr was interviewed by ICRT's San Francisco correspondent, Eric Olander. Thank you for joining us. For Encounter, I'm Alan Beach.